Hey, Deal Farm podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini, and before we jump into today's podcast, I wanted to talk about a few things. First, you've probably noticed that our podcast has been a little intermittent as of late, and it's actually for some really good reasons. We actually got picked up for a new house flipping series with HGTV, and we are in the process of filming 13 episodes right now, and it's occupying almost all of my time, so it's been tough to get a weekly podcast out. Now, that said, we are in the process of revamping and reformatting the podcast, and we've got some exciting changes that are going to be relaunched here in the next couple of months, so be on the lookout for that. Now, in regards to today's podcast with Darren Collins, I want to be candid and apologize in advance that the quality is not fantastic. Unfortunately, we got through the entire interview and then discovered he had a lot of reverb on his microphone, and we've tried to salvage it and remaster it and make it work, but it's still not great. So if you guys could just bear with us through today's podcast, I promise it's not the quality we're going to be putting out going forward. And again, we are relaunching this podcast with some fantastic changes. So I really hope you guys will sit tight and hang with us, and we look forward to serving you guys in the future. Enjoy today's podcast.
You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with The Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I'm joined by Darren Collins out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Darren is a buddy of mine and a fellow member of the Collective Genius. And over the last couple years, he has built a behemoth of a company out of the North Carolina and South Carolina region. Get this, he is sending out 1 million postcards a year and has built an entire call center around those leads. And it's unbelievable what he's built in just a short amount of time. I'm super excited to have him on the show. So Darren, welcome to the show.
Hey Ken, what's happening, man?
Man, good to have you on the show. You know, you and I have been buddies a long time in CG, and I've been bugging you for a couple months here, so I'm glad I was able to pin you down and get you on the show.
Yeah, man, it's good to be on. I appreciate the invite, man. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, I know you're a busy dude. You know, I was about to pick your brain before we even got on the show. I figured I'd just save it for the show. I'd love to know how you got started in real estate, because I know you've got an interesting past. I know you've been a pastor to church, and now you are crushing it in North Carolina and South Carolina. But before all of that, man, how did you even find yourself in real estate?
Yeah, sure. Well, for starters, I was in construction my whole entire life. My father had a construction company, so I started that probably somewhere about 8 or 10 years old. And during the process of life, you know, teenage years and, you know, early 20s, got married. I guess we got married around 28 or 29 years old. Then a baby comes along, and you know, I've always been a hard worker. It's just my DNA. We don't know any other way but to work hard. So during the construction years, we owned our own business with our family, obviously. And that process, as my first child came along, it was just cumbersome. I mean, we were you know, working. I left home at 5 a.m. I would get back home at 9, 10 o'clock at night during the summer months. And my little baby girl, I didn't get to see her at all. So, you know, there were those times where I just said, man, this is not going to work. If I'm going to be a good dad, I have to do something different. So that began a journey of looking. And during that looking process, you know the story, midnight infomercial guru. I think it was probably Robert Allen or Carlton Sheets or whomever it was. Yeah. And my mind said, hey, man, I think we can do that. So I'm telling Lindsay, my wife, I said, yeah, I think we can do this. And in those years, Ken, you know, we didn't have any money, right? But they did a weekend retreat in Charlotte, which is 3 hours away from Fayetteville. And so I said, look, we've got, you know, $4,000 to our name. This is going to cost us $3,000. Let's just go try it. And I did it. I went and spent a weekend in a retreat with I think it was Robert Allen and some of his students. But we did that, and the journey began. So realistically for me, man, it was more of kind of an evolution. Me becoming a father just kind of shook me up a little bit to say, man, I got to be a good dad. So we've got to find a better way than working 15 hours a day to make a living. And I think we just kind of stumbled into real estate. Now, I need to preface that by saying the course didn't really do anything to help us make any money whatsoever. And for any listeners out there, we did the course, we spent the $3,000. And at the end of the day, it still took me another 18 to 20 months before I did my first deal. So after the course, we came back home and, you know, you're inspired, you're all of those things. I mean, you know the deal, right? You're excited to go do some deals. And we had no idea. We had no boots on ground. We had no training for what we were going to try to do. And then my mother-in-law and my father-in-law are realtors, and she said, you might need to talk to this guy. He's a local real estate investor. And long story short, I met the guy. He was younger than I was. He was 27, 28 years old at the time. He very successful, very, very successful. He was a real estate investor. He was also a developer of land. He owned three planes at the time. Yeah, he hadn't even turned 30 years old. So anyway, his whole background, I said, this may be a guy that I want to talk to. And we met, we hit it off, and he became that mentor for me. And I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but if you tell me to go from, you know, if you're 28 years old and you have three planes and a multimillionaire before you're 30, and you tell me, hey, Darren, just walk from here to there, I'm smart enough to know, hey, I'm going to walk. I'm just going to start. So I just started taking steps, and he was like, do this right here. And I did it, and we got into foreclosure, fixing and flipping, and that was kind of our journey into real estate. That's what got us into real estate. And I can elaborate a little more on that, because we got into real estate in 2003, 2004. And I don't know if you remember those years, but in 2004 and 2005, I could sell anything to anybody. The banks were giving money to anybody who had a pulse. The appraisers were coming back great. We never had an issue with an appraisal. Our repairs on our flips were, you know, just mediocre at best, because we had so many buyers, it didn't really matter. And that was my first indoctrination into this. So I didn't know, Ken. I was just like, well, this is real estate. So to make a long story short, I was playing golf 4 days a week. I was shooting 77, 78 at golf. I was playing really good golf at the time. Yeah. And but my thought process was, you know, we've hit the lottery. This is too easy. And this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And we were making $20,000-$30,000 a month and being really, really lazy. And then all of a sudden, you know what happened. Oh, yeah. 2007 arrived, and then the whole universe asked me a question. And so we didn't know how to answer that question. And long story short, by the time it all ended, we were in debt about $300,000 to $350,000 with no income, no job. My wife had quit her job during the height of the market where we were making a lot of money. And everything just crashed around us. My credit got smashed because I had borrowed bank money. We had no idea what we were going to do. And, you know, the Great Depression, which is a personal depression, hit my life. So we were just kind of in that flux of what do we do now when everything is gone away and banks don't lend us money anymore. So long story short, I come from the construction background, my dad, and I remember we lived in Charlotte at the time. And a funny story, man, because we had borrowed as much money off of credit cards and from banks that we could just to live on. And then one day I woke up and I said, man, that's it. We don't have anything else. Nobody, we don't have any more credit cards. We don't have anything to live on. And I got depressed, and I was depressed for a couple, like 2 days. And then I remember the third day waking up, Ken, it was the funniest thing. My dad was still alive at the time, but I could hear him in the back of my head. And I could hear him say, you know, my dad was a very austere dude. He was very hard. You know, he came up hard, so he was a hard-nosed guy. And I heard him in the back of my head saying, son, if you did it once, do it again, but do it better. And so that third day when I woke up, that was it. I was no more depressed. I made up my mind, and I was ready to kick doors down and start over. And during that process, we moved back to Fayetteville in the end of 2009, 2010. We had maybe $2,000 to our name. We had no income, nowhere to live. I had two babies. I had a pregnant wife. And I was destitute. But I'll tell you what I did have. I had a deep down hardcore belief that I was going to do this 10 times better than anybody's ever seen. And I was a little bit angry. I was a little bit excited, and I was 100% determined that I wouldn't be stopped and that it was doable. And in 2010, January 2010, we had maybe $2,200 in the bank, and I spent $1,000 or $1,200 on We Buy Houses signs, and I went at it as hard as I could go. And we were pounding up signs at 3 o'clock in the morning, putting them on telephone poles, and we just started another evolution. And I guess it's been 5 or 6 years, and we are way more than 10 times better than what we were. So that's kind of my story, where I come from and how I got to this place, and the beatings and the trauma that it took me to get here.
You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of guys that come on the show similar to myself, where we didn't really hit our stride until after 2007. And didn't really take the beatings, but there are a handful of guys like yourself that were, you kind of hit your stride before then and then really took some lumps. And a lot of those guys never recovered. They never got back into real estate. They just, you know, found another career, you know, they sort of picked themselves off the floor. But to hear your story where you were killing it, and then all of a sudden you're in the negative and then to pick yourself back up and reinvent yourself in real estate is a really inspiring story.
Yeah, and I think the reality for that is, you know, and I've been thinking about this for a while. What does it take to be successful? Because we do some stuff for the folks that work for us now. But the biggest thing for us is the belief and the persistence. If you believe and you keep swinging the axe at the tree, sooner or later, the tree is going to fall. And I just had an enormous belief that we had the ability to do it again. So we just kept going every day.
Unbelievable, man. And so really, just starting your new business, 2010, you're only 6 years down the road. And talk to us a little bit about what your business looks like today, or even the evolution over those 6 years, because I know you've gone through a couple iterations to be where you are now. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, we have changed tremendously, right? We came back in 2010, and I have a background of flipping and construction, so that was my model. Let's grab some, let's flip some. And we had a really good model of rent to own. So we said we'll do some subject to properties and we'll do rent to owns on those. Well, the reality for us was that we had to find money. If we were going to do any fix and flips at all, we had to find money. So we started raising private capital. And we stumbled through that like everybody else, friends, family, acquaintances, whatever it took. And we started raising private capital because I knew banks just weren't going to back anybody anymore. And so long story short, we stumbled through it for a while, raised a few million dollars. And then I had a business coach for the first time in my life. I hired a guy and he said, Darren, you need to look at doing a PPM, which is a private placement memorandum, if you're going to raise private capital. So we started that journey maybe 2 years, maybe 2012, 2013. I'm not really sure the year in that, but we started looking at it. We spent some money to raise that. To do the paperwork, we did that. We raised $5 million from that first one, and it kind of gave us that catapult to build what we have right now. And right now, we do a little bit of everything over the last 6 years. I mean, we were like probably back when I first started in 2010, we were about 80% fix and flip, and we did a few wholesales, but not many. And then we were, you know, probably, you know, doing two or three, maybe four rent to owns every month if we could get the subject tos. Over the course of the last 6 years, we've gone from me and my wife and a guy who wanted to help to this model where we're probably today 80%, 85% wholesale, and everything else is just buy and hold. We still have some fix and flip, but we're trying to move away from that model completely. And just go into the, if it's worth fixing, for me, here's my mindset. If it's worth fixing, it's worth keeping. If it's not worth fixing, then wholesale it and let somebody else keep it because it's worth it to somebody else. So over the last 6 years, we've gone through all of these evolutions. And I'm, to be honest, man, our mastermind that we do with Collective Genius has really helped me with that. We went from buying bank-owned properties exclusively to now we're exclusively buying straight from sellers, and I haven't bought a bank foreclosure in probably 24 months or so. So yeah, everything that we do now is straight to seller, and 80% of that is probably wholesale business where we just, you know, grab a contract, put it on the MLS and flip it to another investor.
That's interesting. So most of your wholesale, you're able to sell over the MLS?
Ken, what did we do last month? I don't know, 15 deals last month, whatever it was. Could have been 14, could have been 16, I don't know. But anyway, we did every one of those sales, every one of our wholesales, we went through the MLS, everyone. No, there was nothing that we sold off of a cash buyers list or whatever. We don't do any of that anymore. We have a cash buyers list, but it's very rare. Maybe 1 out of 100, somebody will come in and say, I want to do the assignment on this house. Everything right now is going straight through the real estate company and on the MLS.
Interesting. Okay, so let's break down what your business looks like today. So you've obviously had a couple iterations. You transitioned a lot, and like a lot of us, you know, who were able to pick off the MLS deals that were bank foreclosures. Now those have dried up. We've had to find off market deals. We've had to get into direct mail and different types of marketing. And I know you've kind of spearheaded a lot of that. What does your business look like today? Because I know you've got a real interesting setup in terms of acquiring with a sales team. Maybe talk a little bit about how that's set up.
Okay. Well, first off, we are straight to seller. We're sending out mailers. This year, we're going to send over 1 million mailers in 2016. Wow. And then all of our calls go straight to a voicemail. That voicemail is processed with a VA. The VA puts it into our CRM, which we use Podio, as you know, and those leads are then, according to, you know, what the voicemail said, those leads are round robin to our 6 acquisition people. And we do all of our deals over the phone. We do all of our agreements over the phone. We never look at the houses until after we have an executed contract, which means we already have the agreement. We already have the numbers settled. So all of my acquisitions people, guys and gals, are all in our office, and they're probably making somewhere between 50 and 100 calls each every day, just calling people back. But I will tell you this, man, I don't know if most people know this about direct mail or whatever that is. We make most of our deals, and I shouldn't even say most, Ken. We make 97% of our deals are on the follow-up calls. It's not the first call. It's not a hot lead that just came in. It's that person who we talked to for 30, 60, 90, and even 180. And we just closed the deal last week. We talked to this person for 2 years, 24 months. We talked to this person, and we finally got them to say, yeah, let's do this deal. So all of our stuff is about follow-up. And the real change in my business, man, I can tell you this, the real change in my business came when I made a commitment to training my salespeople, my acquisitions people. We do Monday morning training for at least 1 hour. Most Mondays it's 2 hours. We record all of their calls so they can hear what they're saying, and they can get a better understanding of how to get the acquisition done. But the reality is that my business really ramped up when I started committing to doing a Monday morning training, and everybody comes in and everybody has a camaraderie to help other people in the business. And that really revolutionized what we do.
So that's interesting, because I've heard a lot of people say the same thing. I'm curious, where are you getting your material for the training? Or is it more just...
To be honest with you, man, I'm getting all my material from me. Here's what I would say. If anybody has sales training that they are trying to do, Chet Holmes International is the best for me that I know of. But the training that we're doing is our personal training. So it's the stuff I came up with. It's the stuff that I've learned over the years. It's me doing, 1,000 deals over the last, 14, 15 years it's been. It's just the stuff that I know. And then I reiterate that. So we have 6 points of a call, because everything's over the phone. So we have 6 points of a call, and then we give them the philosophy. And once they understand the philosophy and how to do it, then they put what I would call their own flavor on that. And then they make their own deals. Does that make sense?
Totally. No, I mean, you got that sort of experience, you know what works and what doesn't work. And a lot of times it's like you said, it's a little bit of the rah-rah, it's the camaraderie, it's getting them on board, excited about their job every Monday.
Yeah.
And motivating them. It's really motivating.
It is. And it's also about giving them the philosophy, because we only hire salespeople who have been trained before in sales. But it's about the philosophy, because our business is just a skosh bit different than selling used cars on the car lot. It's just a tad bit different. So I have to, you know, have the get, I, they got to get the philosophy. The concept is everything. Once they get that concept, then it's pretty much downhill. If they're good at sales, they know how to. And here's what I teach, and I'll give this to everybody, right? Here's what I teach. We are not in the real estate business. We are in the people business. Mm-hmm. And when you understand that we're in the people business, if you're straight to seller, you're in the people business. And when we're in the people business, we need to know about the people, not the product. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my philosophy. And as you said before, I'm a pastor. So that was my whole nature. So I'm a people person anyway. So I kind of teach my folks the same philosophy and all of that. So we kind of have a different philosophy about this. We don't talk about real estate. We don't talk about numbers. We don't talk about price. We talk about the person, the problem, and the solution. That's what we talk about. And that's how we get deals done over the phone.
I've heard that said from a number of really experienced guys, the exact same thing. It really is about solving their problem, not about the house.
Correct.
Itself. Absolutely.
Correct. Correct.
So you're going to do a million stinking mailers this year. That's ridiculous.
We'll do at least a million.
What are you mailing? And who are you mailing to?
We're just mailing postcards. Just yellow postcards, little 4x6 postcards.
Okay.
We're getting a list from our guy Richter. We're using Richter's list.
Okay.
And we're just pounding them out, dude. I mean, it's just kind of is what it is. And you learn, I think business period, Ken, is an evolution, right? It's like life. It's an evolution. You do something, you learn what you did wrong, you bring it back, you tweak it, and then you go again. So right now we're getting really, really good at, you know, how to do these mailings, what it takes to keep six people busy all day, every day. So right now our goal is to get to 30 a month. That's what we want to get to before 2016 is over. So we're pushing really, really hard to get to 30 a month. And so this week we're sending out about 40,000 mailers, maybe a little better than that. But right now we're pushing about 110, 115 every month out the door.
That's awesome, dude. That's crushing it. And then what are you doing right now in terms of volume? About 15 a month, somewhere in there?
Well, it varies, man. We've hit 20. Uh-huh. We're hovering somewhere between 15 and 20 right now, which is very frustrating. You know, we've been there for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 months, and very frustrating because we're trying to get it at 30. So, but that's process, man. It's, you know, I would tell everybody out there that would listen, man, you've got to take your time, you know, because it's one thing to come in and go crazy with it and say, hey, we're going to send out a million mailers. But it's another thing to be able to squeeze that down so that you're being efficient, because effective and efficient is two different things. And that's the thing that I've had to learn in my 40s is how to be efficient while staying effective. And so for us, man, we're just getting better and better. So for me, it's not how many deals do we do every month. I'll always keep those numbers, but it's more, did we get better? Are we getting more efficient? Are we staying effective and getting more efficient? Because excellence comes in the efficiency of it. And if we get more efficient, obviously the numbers go up, right? They just keep going up. So we're hovering right now in the teens. And it's just, you know, it's just us trying to get to a new plateau to get over that 20, consistently get over that 20 mark and start pushing toward 30 a month. That's what we're headed toward.
Well, and the way you're expanding, cause you're, how many cities are you guys in right now?
Right now in August, it'll be 10. In August, it'll be 10. In two states, North Carolina, South Carolina, we'll be in 10 different cities.
Okay. And everything's negotiated over the phone. And then you have, some sort of person, a live person in every city to go just inspect houses once you put them under contract?
We do not. We have one guy in our office right here in Fayetteville, uh-huh. and he makes rounds. And depending on what we have this week, he'll go out 2 days or 3 days this week. He's my project manager if we do any rehabs or fixing or anything. And he just does rounds. So all of our cities are within 4 hours. Of our home base. Okay. So he can leave at 6 o'clock in the morning and he kind of does sweeps. So we'll do Winston-Salem, Greensboro and Charlotte, and then come back around and that's his day. So, you know, that's kind of how we do it. So we got one guy here. We have nobody in the other cities. We have realtors in South Carolina, but in North Carolina, we are our own real estate company. We have a broker in charge that's on our staff. So we handle all that stuff in-house as well, everything in North Carolina.
Gotcha. So talk for a second about how you're able to put houses that you don't own on the MLS. What does that look like?
Well, in North Carolina, the legal term is viable, and if you have interest in the house. Uh-huh. So when we take an option on the house, we also do a memorandum of agreement, and that gives us a right. That's really all you need in North Carolina is a right to the property. So we don't have to be the official owners. And then there's a spot in the MLS that says, the seller is or is not the actual owner. And we just click, no, we're not the owner. And then we put them on there. We haven't had any trouble at all. We've been doing this for almost 24 months now, about 2 years. We've been doing it this way, and it's working really, really well. We will have a hiccup every now and again with certain attorneys. A buyer's attorney may have a hiccup and say, oh, I don't like that. We just had one last week. But our attorney will step in and say, no, there's nothing illegal about this. This is perfectly fine. They're using their own capital to close the house, and then they're selling it to you the next day. That's not a problem at all. So that's how
they're double closes, then they're not assignments.
Most of ours are double closings from the MLS. I would say 999 out of 1,000 are going to be, we're going to buy it today and we're going to sell it today as well, or we're going to sell it in the morning, either way. But yes, we're doing double closings.
Interesting. What an interesting, because in a lot of states, they're getting hot water even for trying to do assignments. So the fact that you can get them on MLS, I need to look into Georgia to see if it's possible. I've never even thought about, I just assumed if you don't own it, you can't put it on MLS. But
yeah, you should be fine. I think you'll be fine. Just check an attorney. But it's not that big of a deal as long as we have the right to sell it. You know, and we, as a matter of fact, Ken. So just so you know, we have in our option agreement, we let them know this is what's going to happen. So there's no hidden agendas for our seller, the one that's selling us the house. There's no hidden agendas. We tell them people are going to be coming. We're going to market the property, yada, yada, yada. So they know the whole thing of what's going on. And again, that goes back to why would they do that? Because we're solving the problem for them. We're helping them get to where they want to go because we're in the people business and not in the house business. So that's how we do what we do.
So, yeah, because I know some wholesalers, a lot of wholesalers, they're not really straightforward with the seller. You know, the seller is under the assumption that wholesaler is actually the buyer, but really behind the scenes, that wholesaler is just trying to sell it to somebody else. But in your case, they know, your sellers know exactly what's going on, that you're going to market, you're going to put it on MLS. Don't worry about it. We've got it handled, sort of thing.
We let them know that we have options, that this is the wording. Ken, you just need to know this is how we do our business. We're going to show it to other investors. We're going to show it to other realtors. We're also going to bring in our contractors because there's a lot of things because we have options. So we want to know, are we going to buy it and fix it and flip it? Are we going to buy it and fix it and rent it? Or we may sell it to another investor. So we let them know that up front, that this is what's going to go down. And I would tell every investor, don't pin yourself in a corner. I'm going to buy your house. I'm going to buy your house. Just let it be said, hey, we're going to let you know we want to have options on the house. So this is why we do what we do. And everybody's fine with that. We may have 1 out of 1,000 people who say, no, you can't show my house. And then we say, okay, sir, no problem, or ma'am, no problem. We just can't do business with you. And that's fine. That's fine with us. And that's fine with them because not everybody's a match. And you just got to get cool with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the business model, man. And the fact that you're able to really replicate it and crank it up in other markets. I mean, it'll be interesting to see your success over the next couple of years, how big you grow this thing.
Right. Yeah. That's the exciting part for us as well.
Hey, having done over 1,000 deals over your real estate career, is there one deal in particular that stands out to you as like your best deal ever?
You know, I'm asked that question all the time. What's your favorite deal? What's your best deal? What's your favorite deal? And to be honest with you, the deal we did yesterday is always the favorite deal for me, right? Or the deal that's closing today is always my favorite deal. I mean, we have deals like, we're not California numbers. We're not even Atlanta numbers in my markets because we do B markets. But You know, our deals, the best deals for us are the ones that we have wholesale out. We make $40,000 on or $45,000 on. And we, you know, so for us, it's not, for me in particular, I'm always looking forward. I'm never getting stuck in, oh, that was a great deal and let's go play some golf. I'm always moving forward in the business, trying to get better and more efficient, like I said. So for me, the best deal is the one that we haven't gotten yet, the one that's coming today, the one that they're doing right now while we're on the phone. The, you know, that's the best deal for me. So I don't really have a favorite per se, only the one that we're doing right now. That's going to be my favorite deal.
I like it, man. That's a good answer. Hey, I know you're in the process of raising some more money. What can we do to help you? Where can we steer people right now?
You know, our stuff is going really well. We just started another PPM, and we're ramping that up. If anybody's interested in talking to me, they can always hit me on Facebook, or they could go to our website. It's diversifiedcapitalinvestments.com. It should be up and running. We're putting all that stuff on there, so they want to talk to us about investing or anything like that. Anybody wants to sell a house, they can always go to theprohomebuyers.com, whatever that looks like. But if anybody wants to talk to me in particular, you know, it's usually a Facebook post or something. They can always catch me on there and just kind of go from there.
Do you have a Facebook site for the business by chance?
I think they do, but that's way out of my league.
Good for you, not bringing out the weeds, man. Somebody else is handling it.
Yeah, man. I don't know any of that stuff. But you know, somebody can just hit my Facebook deal, and you know, Darren Collins, and they could find it, and you know, my girls will lead them to that place.
That's great. So we'll put this in the show notes as well, folks. Diversified Capital Investments. It should be up shortly. If it's not up today, just give it a day or two. And then also, if you're interested in even buying a house in North Carolina or South Carolina, you might want to check out their website at prohomebuyers.com or hit up Darren directly on Facebook, Darren Collins. Again, we'll put this in the show notes. Hey, Darren, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. This was great.
Thanks, Ken, man. I appreciate the time. It was awesome time to talk, bro.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
Bye. Hey folks, it's Ken again, and I want to talk to you for just a quick second about becoming a private lender with our company, Georgia Residential Partners. If you've got money right now sitting on the sidelines, maybe it's in a bank account earning less than 1%, or maybe it's in the stock market and you're worried about where the stock market is headed, you might want to consider becoming a private lender with our company. Where you might be getting 1% to 2% on a CD or a money market account right now, when you become a private lender with us, you're actually well into the double digits in terms of return on investment. Again, if you've got money that's not working for you right now, it's sitting on the sidelines, and you want to get it into investment that's safe, that's passive, and has the opportunity to get you well into the double digits, please reach out to me. You can actually contact us through our website at dealfarm.net. Go to the Contact Us page. It goes right into my inbox, and I will reply and set up a time to talk. Thanks so much for listening to The Deal Farm. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care.